Good evening. Topic tonight is tobacco use is a moral issue. A moral issue. Is it right or is it wrong? Or does it just doesn't matter? Everybody can do their own. I mean, you know, you can wear a brown suit or a blue suit or a black suit or no suit. And does that matter? Is that right or is it wrong that you should wear a suit and tie, or is it right that you shouldn't? And can we each have our own opinions on it? Well, when I was preaching down in North Mississippi a few years ago, about 35 years ago, about half the congregation were sharecroppers that grew tobacco and used tobacco, chewed it, smoked it, used the pipe, whatever. They used a lot of, and between class and the worship time, there was a stampede for the back door, and they were all out in the parking lot, standing there having their smokes, or their chews, and it was both. Then when it was time for worship, they'd put them all out, and they'd all come back in, and we would worship God. I believe we know a whole lot more now than we did 35 years ago. 35 years ago, I could talk to people and tell them that, you know, it's not good for you. It's really not. You cough, you hack, your clothes smell, just everything about it is just not good. Well, that's your opinion. It helps me to relax. It's something I enjoy, so leave me alone. Well, I don't think after tonight anybody's going to be able to say that. They looked on it as a harmless habit. And I know there are people today that take it lightly. About 25, almost 30 years ago, I moved to West Virginia. We had several people within the congregation that used tobacco. Tried to talk to them, show them the damage that it's doing. One man in particular told me, "No way, it doesn't hurt me a bit. I go put in a hard day's work. When I come home, I get my tractor out and go out and work in the garden. I work out in the fruit trees. I put in a 15, 18-hour day every day. And it's not hurting me a bit." Today he's pushing an oxygen bottle around with a little hose coming up to his nose. Smoking, chewing, snuff, and I don't care if it's cigarettes, cigars, or a pipe, is harmful physically, and it's sinful spiritually. Why do I have the right to say that? I was telling Sandy on the way out here, I made sure I got some good statistics. I went to the Center for Disease Control. You've heard about them. That's the folks that give all the information out on the swine flu. Oh, excuse me, it's not to be called swine flu anymore. N1H1. We've got to be politically correct, you know. Well, anyhow, they have statistics about tobacco use. They claim that tobacco use is the single leading preventable cause of death in the United States today. Staggering number. 438,000 people die every year in the United States because of tobacco use. 438,000. More deaths are caused by tobacco use than all of the deaths by HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol use, motor vehicle injuries, suicides, and murders combined. Combined. On the average, an adult who smokes shortens his life by 14 years over non-smokers. 14 years. Okay, that's overall mortality. Let's get specific. Let's make sure that we understand where these numbers are coming from. Lung cancer, 123,800 deaths. 123,800 deaths. 34,700 other cancers are caused by smoking. Chronic lung disease, another 90,600. Coronary heart disease, another 86,800. And I'm giving these statistics for every year, after year, after year, after year. Well, what about secondhand smoke? Heard that one for a long time, and everybody hoo-hawed that. That's a bunch of nonsense. Well, according to the Center for Disease Control, secondhand smoke causes heart disease, lung cancer in the non-smoking adults in the household. So if there's somebody smoking in your household, you are in danger, not only them. Secondhand smoke causes approximately 3,400 cancer-related lung deaths every year. Among the non-smokers now we're talking about. We're not talking about the ones using it. Secondhand smoke injures children by bringing on respiratory problems, respiratory infections, ear infections, more frequent asthma attacks, all because of secondhand smoke. According to the Centers for Disease Control, there is no, spelled N-O, safe level of smoke exposure. None. Well, you know, okay, I'll throw away my cigarettes. What about my pipe or my cigar? Surely that's okay, isn't it? You know, you don't usually inhale those. That's what our president said he did with marijuana a few years ago, if you'll remember. He didn't inhale. Well, that pipe smoking, cigar smoking increases dramatically the risk of dying from cancer of the lung, of the esophagus, of the larynx, and of the oral cavity, in other words, your mouth. And that's not Don Treadway talking. That's the Center for Disease Control saying, smokeless tobacco, the stuff you chew and the snuff, there's 26 cancer-causing agents, carcinogens in it. Safe? I don't think so. It increases dramatically again the danger of cancer of the oral cavity. Their statistics say adolescents who start using smokeless tobacco are much more likely to become cigarette smokers when they get older. And again, that's from the Center for Disease Control. I think in view of this kind of evidence, there is no one can say that tobacco use is harmless. I'm happy to report the sales of tobacco is way, way down from what it used to be. But you know something? They're putting more nicotine in what they're selling. They're processing it better. so they can put more nicotine, so they can keep the ones that they have. I hope I've given you some very, very good reasons why, as Christians, you need to abstain from tobacco use. Let's go through and look at them, not from man's statistics, but let's look at what God's Word has to say. Just think about, well, let's look first at the effect on our bodies, the physical effect. Look in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. Now you think about that. This body is not my own. And when I damage it the way that I've been talking about earlier in this lesson, do you think God's happy with that? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not mine. It's been bought at a price. At the price of God's dear Son. You know, if we go out and we buy some little thing at the store, pay a buck and a half for it, and we bring it home and it doesn't work, it breaks real quickly. Or, you know, if you go to the store and you got a dog like ours and you pay $4 or $5 for a little dog toy and you give it to him and 10 minutes later, it's in pieces all over the room. Well, that's one thing. But if you go out and you spend $10,000 on a dog toy, and you give it to them, and in 10 minutes it's shattered all over the living room floor, I'd be a whole lot more upset, wouldn't you? How about $10 million for a dog toy, and they rip it apart? How about Jesus died for me, and I destroy the temple that he wants the Holy Spirit to be in? The body that he gave me, according to 1 Corinthians 6:20, to glorify God. And I destroy it? I destroy it? Look at 1 Peter 4 and verse number 10. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold grace of God. Steward. We talked about that this morning. As a good steward. Somebody that properly administrates somebody else's property. You know, we're hearing all about these big business guys and running companies into the ground and bad business decisions, and they're ended up getting kicked out, or at least kicked out, if not thrown in jail, for making bad decisions for their companies. What are we doing with our bodies? We're to be stewards of that body, because we're all stewards of God's grace. Our duty, folks, is to be faithful in what's been given to us. Look in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2. It's required in stewards that one be found faithful. If somebody borrowed your car, you know, your nice, shiny car that you paid thousands of dollars for, tens of thousands of dollars. You said, yeah, sure, just, you know, take good care of it. They bring it back with the fender dented in and the headlights smashed out. And they throw you the keys and say, thanks a lot, sorry about the dents, and start to walk away. Now, what would you say? See you later. If you ever need to use it again, just let me know. No. No. No, that would upset you. Years cut off of our life by tobacco use so that we cannot serve and glorify God. You think that upsets him? You think we're going to have to answer for those years of service, those opportunities that we have during those years to glorify God? You betcha. No question. Well, that's the effect on us. What about the effect on other people? When we hurt them and sometimes kill them by our tobacco use. Where we burden the family's finances by the bills that are left when you're dead and gone. Dead and gone. Depriving your family, your wife as a spouse, depriving your children as a parent, as a grandparent, impoverishing the church and society of your talents and your service. Folks, I'm here to tell you that when somebody is killing themselves, harming others, they're not showing much love. They're not showing anything but selfishness. I want it, and I'm going to do it. They're not showing love. What about the effect of our influence? We're role models, whether we like it or not. We really are. People watch us and people know. Pam, I'm going to use your daughter as an illustration. Pam just told me a few minutes ago. Her daughter called when we were here worshiping. She said, oh, I thought you'd be with your mom. Her daughter in Pennsylvania knows she's not worshiping God when she's down on the farm with her mother. She knows that. From a state away. What do you suppose your neighbors know? Pop the blind apart and say, ah, yeah, there they go. It's about time for them to go to worship. You suppose they notice that? Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, in the morning and in the evening, you go. You suppose they notice that? And then when you throw in Wednesday night, you suppose they know that? I've had people tell me, I'm not going to bother calling you on Wednesday because I know that you go to church. There's just no need to call. And I say, you're right. Well, what about the role model that we set when we light up a cigarette? You suppose anybody notices? You guys that work in an office, do you notice who goes out for a cigarette? Sure you do. I mean, it's obvious. Jessica gets all upset all the time. She says, I'm going to start smoking. I'm going to buy a pack of cigarettes and just stand there and hold it so that I can get up and go out and take a 10-minute break out of every hour. I said, there's better ways than that. You know, but besides that, those things are getting expensive. And if you're not going to enjoy them, to spend $3, $4, $5 a pack for those things to just stand there and burn them up, that's crazy. That's crazy. But when we light up a cigarette, what kind of role model does that set before our coworkers, before our children, before our neighbors? That says, oh, he's a Christian. He's out smoking, right? That's a man that lives under Christ's control. No. Don't kid yourself if you think that. No, not for a moment. Folks, we all influence people for good or for bad. Every one of us. Whether we like it or not, we live in a goldfish bowl. And as soon as you say, I'm a Christian, the glass gets clearer because more folks are looking through. And we ought to say, thank you, God, for putting me in a goldfish bowl. It gives me an opportunity to lead others. And sometimes we complain, oh, why folks are always watching. I don't want to. They leave me alone. They're not going to leave you alone. They're not. Can we say that we're following Paul's example as he follows Christ? If we're using tobacco. You suppose Paul got that little round can out of his back pocket, got him a pinch and put it down between his lip and, you know, stuck it in the back pocket of his Levi's? You suppose that happened? No. Not a chance. Not a chance. He said in the passage that we looked at in Colossians 1, that he said he was willing to fill up the afflictions of Christ. He wanted to suffer as Christ suffered, if that's what it took to save the souls of people. Do we ever even think about, do we ever even consider the influence that we have and how it's affected by tobacco use in saving others? 1 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, neither to the Jew nor the Greek, to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. If there was no other passage that talked about the concept of tobacco use, that one has to scream at us. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you take into your body, do it all for the glory of God. Saw a bumper sticker one time that I thought pretty well said it all. It said, kissing a smoker is like licking a dirty ashtray. Now you think about that. Is that about as disgusting as anything you can imagine? But that's what you've got, all that tar and all that nicotine that's there in the ashtrays in the mouth. Ah! Disgust me to even think about it. Pretty simple question. Does tobacco help or hinder our efforts to share Christ with others? Even putting aside the damage it does to our body, the damage that it does by taking years off of our life, the damage that it does for secondhand, does it help us spread the gospel of Christ? Or does it hinder us? I hope in your mind, in the mind of those that may be listening to this on the internet, that the harmful use of tobacco has been clearly established. The scientific evidence is overwhelming. Even our bodies tell us that it's bad for us. Most of you know I used to smoke. I was 4 packs a day. I would set up on the side of the bed and light up a cigarette and smoke it during the night, put it out and go back to sleep. Smoke one cigarette after another. Times I've ran out of cigarettes and it's late and I want a cigarette, go around, check the ashtrays out, see if there's any long butts that I can light back up and finish. Our bodies tell us that it's harmful. Because I'll tell you what I was doing at that time. Every time I got up. Huh? You ever heard of the tobacco cough or cigarette cough? What's that saying? My body's hurting and I'm hurting it worse. Christians have ample reason to abstain. First for health reasons, and then for spiritual reasons. I hope there's no doubt in anyone's mind. Now, for those who are addicted to nicotine, stopping is not easy. One of the hardest things I ever did was to stop smoking. I mean, it was terrible. I look back on it and I pity Sandy having to go through that. I was grumpy. I was irritable. I was angry. I wanted my nicotine. But I promised myself and I promised Sandy and I promised God that I would not set the role before my children that my dad set before me. He was sitting there with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, ashes down the front of his shirt, saying, "Son, you ought to never start smoking these things. They're bad for you. You shouldn't be doing that." 13 years old I was at the time. Had a pack of Lucky Strikes and a cigarette lighter in my sock when he was talking to me. I'd already started. My 16th birthday, he said, "Son, you're obviously not going to quit. Here's a carton of cigarettes and a new lighter you smoke in the house if you want to. You're just fooling us, and you're not fooling us, and you're certainly not fooling anybody else." So till I was 23, 24, I smoked regularly, and that included time I was in the service and in Vietnam, and like I said, four packs a day. But I had determined I wasn't going to do that to my children. 4.5 years after I quit, using them, not wanting them, using them, I was pacing back and forth in the lobby of the hospital down in Charleston, West Virginia. Don was in for a hernia surgery. And I suddenly realized I wasn't grabbing at my shirt pocket. I didn't want a cigarette. Every time in those 4 years before that, I would get under any stress, I'd grab for a cigarette. It got so bad that I carried a New Testament in my pocket, my shirt pocket, just so that when I grabbed, I'd be grabbing the Bible instead of a pack of cigarettes, purposely shaming myself to not do that. But it worked. You couldn't pay me to take a cigarette today. Yes, stopping nicotine is hard. But I trust and I pray that you've seen that we should make every effort to rid yourself of that habit. Because it'll destroy your body. And more important than that, it'll destroy your soul. God loved you enough to send your son, his son, to cover your sins. And not only to cover your sins, but to give you the help and the strength you need to come out of your sin. And part of what he has done is established congregations of God's people that can give you that kind of support and that kind of help. If we can help in any way, if you need to be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, very simple question, very simple process, you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You need to turn from your sin. You need to confess His name and you'd be buried with Him to wash away those sins. If you wandered back out into the world and even back into tobacco use, come back. Come home. Jesus is there. We are there to help in any way that we can. Please, won't you give us that opportunity? The song is I Surrender. I surrender all. We need to surrender. Please, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?